I've always loved poetry. I mean, really, ever since I was very, very, very young. Mm-hmm. But I think that I probably started to study it more concertedly and more intensely and when I was about a freshman in college. Mm-hmm. I took a class from Greg Glasner, who at that time had just published, I think, two books, and it won the Walt Whitman Poetry Award and his second book, Singularity. And yeah, I took a poetry class from him, a creative writing class from him, and was just blown away. I remember my very, very first class, him quoting, actually reciting the entire poem of Robert Frost's Walking Through the Woods on a Snowy Evening. Mm-hmm. And it was a poem that I had memorized myself mm-hmm. a couple of years back. It was the very first time, I think, that I had kind of a model or somebody who I saw actually was a poet. He mm-hmm. wrote poetry. He mm-hmm. taught poetry. He wanted to talk, you know, only about that. And it was so exciting. I thought, you know, oh, somebody could make a life for this thing that I'm crazy about. So it was the first time that I understood that that might be possible. So that's when I started. That's when I began really studying.
Now, there's a way that a poet sees his or her poetry. And then there is another way how audiences or a reader will perceive that poetry.
Of course.
How do you see your work, overall work?
You know, I mean, I like to think of my work as working in, you know, a long lyric tradition. I don't know how much I'm necessarily speaking to some of the poets that I greatly admire. I mean, one is Frost mm-hmm. that I'm kind of crazy about. One of the things that I took the title of the book from Gerard Manley Hopkins, The Wreck of the Deutschland. But when I was looking for the title of the book, you know, I came across that the quote at the beginning of the book. Well, lovely asunder, Hopkins said of the hewn stars. He uses it to describe starlight, you know, in this wreck of these six Franciscan nuns that drown in this terrible shipwreck. And it just seemed so perfect to me that his description of the stars were both lovely and asunder, that there's this kind of loveliness about the brokenness of it. And when I was thinking about the collection speaks a lot to, I think, women's experiences. And I was thinking about the ways in which there's a kind of either brokenness in the relationships of the people in this book, mm-hmm. Sometimes brokenness in kind of a disconnection between the women or the way that they perceive themselves and the way that they are perceived in a socio-religious context. Mm-hmm. So, and I also, you know, with the stereotype of women having always to be lovely.
Correct.
Lovely Asunder ultimately is what I ended up titling the book because I felt like it was a fairly good description of women's position in history and in society in many ways.
And I was about to ask you that. While reading the poetry, I came across a lot of themes like feminism and biracial roots. And I was wondering to myself that, do you really wanted to deal with these issues? Or was it just because, you know, they're everywhere? They're a part of everybody's lives, especially women's lives. So was it just matter of fact?
I would say yes. I mean, I certainly didn't sit down in any one of these poems and think, I'm going to write a feminist poem. Like, I really didn't have that in mind. I mean, I think I was out to capture an authentic experience, mm-hmm. you know. One of the things Frost says about poetry is that it puts a kind of parentheses around the chaos of continuous living. And that's always, you know, what I'm trying to do, you know, take a particular moment out of life and put it on the page. And it's not always autobiographical. I do have to say that. Mm-hmm. That's always a question that comes up about my poetry. But that I hope that there's a certain amount of authenticity in that. And me just being a person in the world and also being a woman, clearly, in the world, some of it's just part of my experience, you know. That's just my paradigmatic slant on things.
Mm-hmm. Now, your work, you know, it tends to be a little dark,
mm-hmm.
where you kind of not focus, I wouldn't say you focus, but you have this place where you talk about the gray areas of life.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still this flicker of hope somewhere, you know.
I hope so.
What is that place you go to when you're writing this stuff?
Huh, that's an interesting question. Usually if I'm sitting down to write, I feel some sort of tug to begin with at a line, the sound of something. I'll be walking around or sitting down or looking out a window, and a phrase or an image will come to me. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of feel drawn to sit down and keep going with it, to follow it through to see where it's going. So I don't usually have like a plan when I'm sitting down to write. And I think that in the process of editing is sometimes where I find that glimmer of hope, though. You know, I as a person, I think generally speaking, even though I am, you know, drawn to the grotesque, to the mm-hmm. dark, to the serious, I'm a fairly sunny person. and I, you know, the other thing is, I feel that when writing about something as serious and or as tragic as are the things that I have to write about, the Asunders, that I always want, I think, to give not necessarily my reader, I mean, they're probably way back in my head, but myself some sort of something to work toward, a glimmer of hope or a glimmer of light, or because I just don't believe that most things in my life, you know, have been so dark that there wasn't something good that came out of it. Sometimes, you know, and perhaps this is my own creation of sort of narrative structures in my life to keep myself up. But I think that it's true of a lot of people that they feel that even going through some really terrible emotional trial will at least bring them some bit of light if they think about it, if they look for the light.
Which is your favorite work in this book, Lovely Asunder?
My favorite work in Lovely Asunder? Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I'm not sure that it might be the first poem, Interrogation, and it might be because it came to me pretty automatically. It was fairly quick to write. I mean, I did edit, of course, and go through, but it happened actually when I was in the creative writing program at George Mason University. And that was kind of the first draft of this poem. And I think I liked the emotional trajectory of it from, I suppose, also small personal crisis. And then I'd like to think that it gets amplified in thinking about, I mean, it kind of goes outward toward the stars at the end. And I'm hoping, I think, that it reaches out slightly, though.
Could you read us a few lines?
Yes. Well, I could read the poem if you...
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Interrogation. How did you get here in the wet garden on your bloody knees? And where is your mother's brown dress smelling of nickels and butter? Why is your father yelling from his bedroom window? And what of the gun? Why can't you untangle your ankles from the cucumber vines? How does it feel to press your small, hot cheek to their leaves? Can you hear the evening sprinklers start up like gossip over the dry lawns? Soon the whole world will be shining with lies. Doesn't that make it easier? Can you feel the tall pines leaning away, closing the clouds like white curtains? And the neighbors, where is the old woman who always keeps one yellow eye on her nectarine tree? Why do you dream of finding the corpses? Why do your father's eyes fill up with blackness? And what of the gun? Why do you press your hand to your chest when he aims? Don't you know it won't keep him from shooting? And where is your mother's brown dress? Can't it hear you crying? Why won't it come home? When his bullets pierce the tree instead of your body, can you sense your face going suddenly calm as the scent of the neighbor's lilac drifts toward your pulse in the garden and hangs itself over your head as if it had prayed for you all of its life and finally, finally found you? How do you know, without the words to say it, that you are the summation of a lifetime of desire. And when you know, do the stars emerge from blackness or arrive like shots in the sky?
So what about today? You have a book signing at Old Main at the UFA campus at 7 o'clock, I guess?
Yes, at 7 o'clock I'll be giving a reading there. And yes, Davis McCombs has been lovely enough to invite me to his poetry workshop as well. So I'll be talking to some of the graduate students there. I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you so much,
sure.
Danielle.
Thank you so much for having me.